You're listening to Show Me the Numbers with Yael Kagan, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good afternoon from Los Angeles, LA Talk Radio. And usually I start here at this time, but today is a little different because Dr. Michelle Cohen, who's here with me, interviewed me before. Mm-hmm. So I was on her show. So no, you are not wrong. I was here before on that same screen, and I was in her show on the couch.
Yes.
With Dr. Michelle, and it was an amazing interview. So I do want to thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. It was. You're so good. You're wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you,
honey. And we had discussed, you know, issues, not issues, the subjects before, but it was even more. I mean, I didn't know what to expect, and she was amazing.
Aww,
and 50 minutes went by so quickly. And before I start, I will say again, I'm Yael Kagan. I'm on my show, Show Me the Numbers, which is every Wednesday on LA Talk Radio at 12 noon Pacific time. I'm a hypnotherapist here in the LA area. I also mastered neurolinguistic programming, also known as NLP. I also mastered numerology, which is the whole secret world about the numbers. I'm the author of the book that I published close to a year ago, that is in two different languages. The book comes in Hebrew for the Hebrew readers and also in English, and can be bought either directly through me or sold on Amazon. It's basically a guide how to raise your children during those times, and using their numerology, their own DNA, not yours, your own DNA. So that's about my book. And I am taking you back to my very, very special guest, Dr. Michelle Cohen, who's a psychotherapist.
I'm a psychologist.
Yeah. She's in the LA area.
True.
And has been a host for quite a while, I understand.
Gosh.
On LA Talk Radio.
I think I forgot to ask Sam. I think it's 16 years.
Oh, wow.
I can see him probably in my mind going, longer. No, 16. We've known each other a long time,
wow,
Sam and
that's
I.
That's a very long time.
I'm blessed. I'm so blessed.
I'm a baby here. I just started in April.
It's wonderful.
But I learn a lot from her. And I do want to thank you, because usually you're doing it remotely.
True, I am, and
it's
great.
And this time we decided we want to meet.
We
did. And hug in person, and we did that.
Very important to do.
And she did it for me and for Sam, so I'm very grateful.
And for me.
For that, and for you, that's true. So we had a lovely time, and we want to continue, because even though she's a psychologist and I am a hypnotherapist, I do also NLP, but it's both considered behavioral therapy.
Yes.
And so we have a lot in common.
We do.
And I believe we both felt it and learned it the first interview when you interviewed me.
Yeah.
But I do want to give you the microphone to let everybody know a little bit about you, because you have a lot of, I mean, your bio is rich.
It's rich. I've been doing a lot of things for many years, and very similar to you, I was in a whole different industry before I started going back and getting my master's in psychology and then my PhD. But I was in the news journalism business for years. I was a national, not international, unfortunately, but a national travel reporter for a syndicated network. So I was all over, I guess, whoever wanted to syndicate it, mostly NBC and ABC stations here in the United States, it was called the NTN, News Travel Network, and I was a travel reporter. I got to go everywhere in the United States and report on the business aspects and or the lifestyles. And my goodness, what's so interesting is everybody's different in each state. Consciousness is different, as we know, by the political surroundings right now. But so I did that for many years. I'd say 17 years. And then I got pregnant, got, I was married about 4 years before then, and my husband and I said, okay, it's time. We've played enough. We have to, we need children. So I got pregnant, and the network I was working for, I was getting big. And, you know, there's all these discrimination laws, but I just did, I got so tired. I was so tired. I said, I can't travel. I can't do this anymore. So, and they were shooting me, you know, from, okay, they kept shooting me on the camera like, up, you know. And I gained weight, and I went, no. So during my pregnancy, prior to getting really big, I decided to go back and get my master's in psychology at Pepperdine and then my PhD. Because I always wanted to be, like you had that within you, I always wanted to be a psychologist. So that was my backstory, and I did a lot of hours. We have to do 3,000 hours. We have to pass the national and then the state law and ethics exam, and it took many years. My husband kept saying, when are you going to get this done? You know, but I finally finished, and now I have a private practice office in West LA, and I worked in clinics, psychiatric in and outpatient clinics, as well as a hospital for a while with psychiatric patients. So there's my story, and now I've had my office since 2006. Long time.
It's so interesting how you were somehow related to travel, and I came from the travel industry.
Isn't that? That's what I was thinking. You and I have so much in common. Yeah,
wow,
yeah.
You surprised me now. Yeah. Michelle, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Interesting. So it's so interesting to make a change in industry.
It is.
At, like, I want to say older age. Not that we were older, but it's an older age. Some people
choose it at
20. Or,
right?
You know, they go to college, and then they're like, okay, this is what I have to do in life.
Right.
But we were like, no, we have something else that we can do, and we want to do, and we will do it.
Exactly.
It takes more time and,
and
a lot of studies, but that's great. I mean, I admire you, and I see that you're very natural, you know, at hosting, so I knew that you had something to do with media somehow.
Yeah, I've been doing that.
So, because you're very natural.
Thank you.
So love it. And we discussed different subjects to talk about, and we'll start, and we have no idea where it's going to take us.
That's the
wherever
beauty.
It takes us, we go.
That's
right?
It. And with you and I, you never know now that we know each other.
Exactly.
So we're just
exactly. So just because I'm, you know, very, it's part of my passion dealing with conscious, subconscious. That's everything that I do.
Yes.
Then I want to dive into that, and I want to ask you to explain what consciousness means, first of all, and in the context of mental health and personal development.
Well, I have sort of a woo-woo explanation of consciousness.
Okay. Woo-woo. Woo-woo.
Well, there's different conscious states, as you know. So it's if you want to talk about brainwave patterns, right? So we're in, hopefully, beta. That's awareness right now. Awareness, beta, consciousness. And then, of course, as you know, there's theta consciousness, or alpha is the next stage to relaxation. That's pre-sleep. And then there's theta, which is deeper, your hypnotic work that you practice in. And then in the different sleep states, there's the delta, which is the deepest state. And then the EEG, yeah, the eye movements. Right. So consciousness is our brain being aware of our surroundings and or not. When we're in high beta, we're anxious, right? So we're going 100 miles an hour. And I'd love to talk with you sometime about why there's so much ADD, ADHD in the world right now. But we'll get into that some other time. So it's consciousness is awareness in our right now. We're in a conscious state of awareness, frontal lobe, analyzing, talking, all that. And of course, the other states, which are more relaxed. But it's always the brain is a conscious thing. I have a theory, and I've been studying this for years, about what our brain is made up of. You know, just use simplistic terms, and that's because how I learned it is, you know, we're an electromagnetic being, heart, electromagnetic energy with the brain, and we have about 40,000 sensory neurites in our heart, which is emotion chips, as they call it, emotion proteins, more than our brain. Every organ has sensory neurites, so they help us become more conscious. There's a thing called heart-brain coherence, and that is when we meld the love and the feeling of the heart and the brain, just like you were talking about, you know, in neuro-linguistic programming. When we can get into that loving, more positive state and connect heart-brain coherence, that is consciousness of, in my woo-woo learning, of a higher level. The frequency is difference, is a different frequency. And so consciousness is any kind of awareness, whether it's in a relaxed state or frontal lobe beta state or a higher consciousness. And you know about gamma, right? So that's even a deeper state that we can get in touch with certain things that are amazing to us. So that's consciousness. I hope I explained that.
100%.
Okay. Good.
And taking it into the mental health and what we do now, like how can you put the two things? I mean, there is the physical part of the brain, which you yes. are very much into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I told you, let's not get into it because yeah. I know nothing sure, about
sure.
it.
Sure, sure.
But taking it into mental health, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I do want you to also get into mm-hmm. ADD and ADHD, if you can, like, Oof. You know, shove it in because it's
yeah.
the pandemic of the world. I mean, it's
no
there.
Idea. It is. It really is. I have theories. And so does everyone else. But I don't know if my theories are correct, but... So in terms of cognitions or CBT,
yes.
we talk about...
We will get more into CBT because not
okay.
everybody knows
okay.
what CBT is, so we will explain. But like in general, think about the consciousness
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and about what's happening mm-hmm. now, the mental health mm-hmm. in the world in general.
Mm.
The connection and how it is what's happening, because the conscious basically is getting mm-hmm. millions
yeah.
of pieces of information
yes.
in a day.
Yes.
Why were we able to deal with it late, like better in, I don't know, 30 years ago, 40 mm. years
oh,
ago?
Oh, yeah, sure.
And how does it change and how does it, you know, affect the mental health in
yes.
the world in general?
Oh, my goodness. With social media, as you know, mm-hmm. with the downfall of our younger people. I don't know about you. I have a son. He's a young adult. But I think social media has influence because, as you said in our last interview, everything's immediate. It's like, and I think, you know, our kids are processing information and have that adaptability to do so and the upgrade in the brain functioning. So, yes, I think we all, and again, you said, I don't know if I want to get into that, but there is a science of, they're calling it quantum consciousness, but there is a science that we're all made up of photons inside the atom. We're all connected. And this is ancient information from Eastern religions way before that, even if you read the Dead Sea Scrolls, frightening information about how we are all connected in the Essene, you know, community and all that. So the learning has come this far in the field to where the field, no pun intended, the quantum field, where we are all connected. Now we're all connected through social media. Now we're all taking in tons of information. We're viewing screens. We're influenced by everything. We have political views. We have stressors in everyday life, as we always did, but much more so than today. We're all picking up other people's energy, and that's in the quantum because we're all connected. We all, if everything were, you know, kind of melted down to atoms and photons before that, we'd all be a big blobby blur of, you know, energy. But we are connected. They've done so many studies at the Institute of Heart Math about how our, and this is not, again, like Kirlian photography, woo-woos, how our energy radiates. They've measured this. Our thoughts, our feelings. You know when someone comes in the room and you go, oof, because you are empathic. You feel their energy. There are measurements at the Institute of Heart Math where people can really pick up on what we're putting out and vice versa. About 3 meters, 8 to 9 feet. When you walk into an energetic field, and there is that field, whatever you want to call it, it's science. So, you know, that to me is all about what we're dealing with today when we're talking about stress and pressures and trying to make sense of things. That's why meditation is so popular now, and neuro-linguistic programming and hypnosis that you do. What I do in my work is I do similar work in that I help people with cognitive behavioral therapeutic techniques. And that's, of course, you learn how to think differently, you learn how to behave differently, and therefore, if you're not happy, things are bothering you, you learn how to tweak those things and change. And there are so many different techniques depending on the issue that you have. So.
Right. And you mentioned, first of all, what you said at the beginning, hypnosis, when we want to come to hypnosis, we overload you with messages.
Yeah.
So what happens now in the world, the way I see
it, right,
because of social media and everything around you, they are overloading you with information. Same shot they were showing, they were showing 10 times, 12 times. That's when they put you in a natural hypnosis, basically.
Yes,
and
they
it's
do.
It's very easy to,
oh my gosh,
to make you think
right,
the way they want you to think.
Yes, yes.
Which is why I think people are overloaded now,
I
and they
agree.
Don't know who to believe and who not to believe.
Exactly.
This sounds so real. What do you mean?
Right.
So that's
right,
part of it. And the energy part,
right,
the law of attraction.
Yes.
How we attract an energy, or how we can take out an energy so we can attract something.
Yes.
And it's our choice to,
yes,
or decision whether we want to work with negative energy or with positive energy.
Yes, yes.
So, and all the connection, you know, how the brain, I mean, that's why when you started talking to me, I was like, wow, that's exactly the same things that
yes,
I do.
Yes.
Because we all, after all, work
right,
on the same things. You,
yes.
I can call it hypnosis and,
yeah, yeah,
NLP, and you can call it differently.
Yes.
Which will obviously taking me now into CBT, because it's, you know, it's a popular,
yeah,
whatever name, word, whatever,
yeah,
you call,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it is.
Not everybody knows exactly what it is. So
mm-hmm,
if you can first share,
sure,
and explain to mm-hmm, our listeners,
mm-hmm,
what exactly,
okay,
is CBT?
Well, it is, you know, cognitive behavioral therapy. So you're using your cognitions, changing your thoughts, and you will perhaps hopefully change your behaviors. Not a lot of people need the behavior aspect of it. You know, a lot of people are suffering, let's just say, as in the instance you and I used in your show, my show, but when I interviewed you, where someone is socially uncomfortable, they're shy, or they have social phobia or whatever. So we change the cognition, we change the thinking, very similar to NLP, but I use different techniques depending on the individual. Everybody's different. I use a lot of David Byrne is he's the man right now with cognitive. He's got a dictionary, mm-hmm, encyclopedia of CBT. So he treats everything. So it's changing your thoughts through different techniques, and it's changing your behaviors. Let's say you have obsessive compulsive disorder, right? You have germophobia. You have to wash your hands all the time. All right. So the thought is you're creating the reality. You have to change reality. But that's not, you can hear reality and people say, stop, look at your hands. They're all red and they're bleeding and you keep doing this. You have to associate what that cognition is with. Is it about control? Usually, there's the root. Okay, where in your life have you had to control yourself? This is going back to psychodynamic stuff. Adlerian, this is going back to Maslow. What have you learned? What are the trauma points in your life? What is so scary to you that you need to continuously wash your hands and control that environment around you? So we go back there. Sometimes we go back there through what I do is imagery and visualization therapy. Very similar to hypnosis, but not as deep. Imagine yourself go, and this is called slow exposure, as you know, and or they have what's called flooding exposure, which I am totally against because I think that's more traumatic, where they flood someone with, you know, you can't wash your hands ever, you know, as opposed to, okay, you just touched the doorknob. Now you're going to go down the hall and not wash your hands. Baby steps. So we do cognitive thinking behaviors. Cognitive is I think, so it includes exposure therapy, includes rationalization. That's David Byrne's big thing as well, is let's draw a line down the middle of a paper. Fears, reality. Let's go with these fears. We discuss them. Talk about the trauma associated with them. What's the reality? The reality is they're really, yes, there's germs, but we have so many good germs, and we can always carry a safety hand sanitizer, so life is not that scary. Whatever it is, we can have the fear and the reality. That's called reality testing. So that's kind of the crux of a lot of cognitive behavioral therapy. And it's not always slow exposure. It's trauma from being abused growing up, right? So there's the inner child work, right? You know about that.
One of the strongest ones, yes.
Yeah? You go within with breathing and you visualize that traumatic moment as that little child. That very moment, and you get specific. What are you wearing? What do you look like? What room are you in? What did mommy do or daddy do or whoever traumatized you? What is the earliest memory you can have? And you're there. Ooh, it's scary. Ooh, feel it. Oh, describe it. Oh. Okay, now use the adult. You walk in. You is this learned adult. You walk in. You put your arms around that little girl or that little boy. And you say, honey, I love you. This is okay. You can release this. This is long time ago. I am here now for you always. I love you. And whatever words they want to use that they feel comfortable with, we incorporate that in prior to the ascension. So that's another cognitive behavioral therapy tool you can use is, you know, healing the child with the self parent. There's so many different types of CBT, rationalization, like I said, exposure, healing the inner child. Some people like plain old, tell me why I do this. Well, let's go back. It's more psychoanalytic. Let's go back. Some people haven't gone back. Oh, well. So that's the sort of working with those belief systems. I've had long chats with Dr. Joe Dispenza, and I interviewed him. You know who he is. I've interviewed him, and his whole thing is what I incorporate into my work as well, which is relaxation, breathing, and visualization, meditating, and creating the picture in a different way, creating the outcome in a different way, and really working on swishing away those negative thoughts. Because the daily fears we experience with what you mentioned, news, social media, talking with our friends, it's all energetic. So if we can get rid of all that chatter that has caused neural patterns that cluster and grow. So we have a fear neural pattern up here that relates to not being able to walk out into the streets of Israel. Certain parts we have, that's deep, those fear patterns, and those are survival. These are all survival mechanisms. Wow. And we have hate thought patterns that are, oh, I hate these people because they're the generalizations, but they're secured deeply in our subconscious as well. And we have good neural patterns that say, oh, goody, I love to do this, or this makes me feel good when I'm with these people. So all these neural patterns, the more we think about them, we're reinforcing them, we're growing them. So the goal is to overlay the negative neural patterns with the positive neural patterns, much like your NLP. So that's basically the process that we do.
So it does sound very similar to NLP.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And I do want to say that in maybe most of the cases where when I'm dealing with clients, I will go back to childhood and say, who in the house had the same pattern of behavior?
Ooh.
Did you see anxiety?
Yes.
At home?
Yes.
And most likely that's where it comes from, because again, that's what they know, and they have a negative association, with the dirty hands, maybe because saw their mom screaming.
Yes.
When she saw that you came back from the street with your hands dirty and saying you're going to get sick now and all those germs and register, and then you need to release it.
Where did you learn it?
Exactly. It's very, very similar. Just I'm like interested to ask and to know, because I know when I deal with it, I know that there's defense mechanisms. And
The
brain wants to keep what you know. This is my comfort zone. Don't make changes. It's been working great for me. No, it's not been working great for you. That's why you are here.
Yes.
But you still keep it. You hold it.
Yes.
And how, when you do CBT or when you work on a conscious level, I would call it, is it not that difficult then? Because if they come with resistance, I mean, they come to ask for a change. Yet when you start the work, they can tell, yes, that's exactly what I need. They leave the room and it goes back to their original behavioral pattern, because that's what they know.
That's exactly right.
How do you make it
work
for them?
Right. I give them homework assignments. Okay. And one of the most common things that I work with are relationship issues. So let's use an example. So I get the vibe of a couple, and I, you know, and you try not to judge either one or come off like, because what always happens, if you've worked with couples before, I'm sure you have. Okay. So you see sometimes, and you don't want to judge, you see where a source of a lot of the problem may be coming from one of the two, who's extremely emotional, men too, or dramatic or controlling or whatever that is, and they have to dial that down, and you want to kindly tell them to do that, right? So, and yet you don't want them to feel disrespected or like, oh, well, that therapist is on your side, you know, that kind of, which you've gotten. I know you've gotten that. So, so what it is basically giving them homework to work with of, how can I practice? It's mnemonics, as you know. Repetition and rehearsal. And visualization of emotion is the way we learn. The way I learned, and I'm sure the way you learned, is I would read a concept in my classes in psychological brain biology, right? So I'd see the parts of the brain, and I'd visualize, ooh, there's the amygdala. There's so much emotion going. So in other words, if we visualize and turn it with emotion and do that, write that stuff down and practice it again and again and again, it sinks into that. And the thoughts that fire together, wire together, fire together, we keep increasing those learned behaviors. So in the couples therapy, when the husband starts saying things, or the wife starts saying things that are accusatory, sometimes we call it, oh, I don't know, gaslighting, or what's wrong with you, or you don't get me, or, you know, you're the one who's making, you know, and it's like, nope, we share. We both are, you know, acting off each other's, because we all have fears, unresolved issues. Okay. So the homework is, what can I say to be truly transparent, honest, and loving to my partner who's accusing me without triggering me to go, what do you mean? You know, so it's dialing down those reactions because we all know about what happens to us and how we get sick from stress and anger and yelling and, oh my goodness, how that damages us growing up in a home like that. And you and I have been blessed to not have to grow up with that. But so it's like instead of the knee-jerk brain going, defense, how can I learn? What are the sentences? What are the feelings I can explore to where you have empathy for that other person and know where they're coming from? So in couples therapy, tell me about your background to the husband and wife. Tell me about, do you understand what you two have been dealing with? Do you understand why you replay this with mommy and daddy or why you, you know, were modeled this behavior so now it's okay to do this? And then you do it with whoever, your relatives, your siblings. Do you understand each other? And how can you both work to dial this down to where you're not triggered? Those are old neural patterns that have built up like, he called me blank or whatever, and that goes to the old pattern when I was young and I was called, you're flaky, you're not smart enough. And then, okay, so we get to know all those things. Write down the healthier comments that you can say, like, I see that you're trying to trigger me and hurt me, but I'm not going to react because I care for both of us. So it's just learning sentences. It's learning how to calm yourself, how to breathe, how to respond appropriately. And that's through, you know, repetition and rehearsal, basically, with a lot of that kind of therapy.
So we started talking about relationship. We said if time permits, but we can't avoid it because it's out there, and we both see couples.
Oh boy, you do, you sure do.
And it's actually the same issues. It's just double the trouble. I call
it. Ma'am. Perfect.
Because it's
double
two
the trouble.
It's double the trouble.
Right.
If both people are coming actually to talk about them being together.
Yes.
But actually, each one comes with a big suitcase. Brings his life, his childhood, triggers, the trauma, everything to do with their life, doesn't matter what age they are. And here they bring it into the room and they're like, okay, let's open the suitcase and let's start sharing.
Right.
And many times I say it, and I say it up front, that I believe that in order to succeed in couple therapy, you need to work with one on one. I need to have
him alone
together with me, and I need to have her alone together.
Right.
Otherwise, what happens is I sit in a room and I'm a judge, I'm a referee.
That's right.
And I need to move from this side to that side. From this side to that side. Now, everybody has their side. They're all right. Everybody is correct because they have their own way of viewing the same thing. In NLP, by the way, we say the map is not the territory.
Beautiful.
So two people look at the same picture.
Right.
I will see one thing.
You're right, right.
You will see something completely different. I'm not wrong, and you are not wrong.
That's
and
right.
And we're both right, because that's what we see.
That's our truth.
Exactly. And then you need to sit with them, and they expect you to take a side.
Yes. Yes,
yes. You see, she agreed with me.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yes.
She also said that you were wrong. And then that's when you lose them.
Yes.
That's when it doesn't work.
Right.
And that's why many times I like to sit one session with both.
That's really smart.
And
that's
then
really
I sit
smart.
Separately. Now,
right.
I love it how you said that when you give homework,
yes,
you tell them what they need to do, and that's when they start making
hopefully,
the change.
Right?
But
yes.
Subconscious mind says,
I'm autopilot.
I'm sorry. My button is pressed, and that's what I know. So,
an
hour after I left your office,
right.
I'll be fine. But then it will come back because I'm working automatically. And it's interesting for me to ask when, because again, what I know is what I do, or from some, you know, psychology sessions that I took in the years.
Yep.
But how, when you don't have that hypnosis or going into like a deeper state, releasing defense mechanisms, how do you make them work on those, like, first of all, find the triggers, obviously find the root cause, and then make the change? Because the change is the problem.
Exactly, it is. And that's why in the couples therapy session, I allow each person to talk about their upbringing, and the other person needs to listen and hear, and I reflect back, did you hear that her father accused her of this and used to paddle her with his belt and used to, do you hear how she has this unresolved fear about men controlling her? Or she has, do you, so we go back in that session. Yes, I do. Did you ever hear, what's a story? Tell a traumatic story to him in front. So, and then we go with that, his trauma or not, whatever, maybe he doesn't. And they can't identify with each other. You don't get me because I was scared every night. I didn't know what daddy was going to be like coming home to because he was a substance abuser or whatever that is. Okay, honey, so understand the fear involved. So just try to get me. You don't have to feel it, but just try to look at it like an observer and say, wow, like you never knew me. And you walked into a room and you saw this woman and she's telling you, you go, oh my God, dear. You don't even know. So let's remove all the drama and all the gooey, icky stuff that you've had before and how you've called each other names and sweared at each other and really hit those targets on the heart. Oh, God, that got me, you know. So that's what I work with. And then I have them each practice things about how they're going to respond. Now, when they come back, we talk about some of the things that came up. And I say, now, why did you not use this tool? You've got to stop, think, remember. This is mindfulness therapy that we were talking about, too, on the phone. Mindfulness, awareness of your reaction, your knee-jerk reaction in your brain and your physical body that tightens up, you know, fight or flight. What's going on with you? Mindful. Be mindful of how you're feeling, your body's tightening, how you're being affected, and calm that. So we will, let's reenact something that happened. So they'll do their thing. He'll say, you know, she did not hear me when I told her not to drive the car, this car, because it had a flat tire. And then she got a flat tire. And then she's crying. And I told her that the tire wasn't flat, but it needed air. And maybe I was taking it to stupid stuff. But it's just about she's not listening to me is the theme. And she's like, he's yelling at me like my dad. So we do a quick and dirty of reenactment. And I say, now, how could you have handled that differently? Ooh, maybe I should have listened to him. But that car was just right there and I was in a rush. How could you have gone back and hurried that so you wouldn't have to hurry? What could you have planned? So it's thinking about, and this is just a goofy explanation and much less serious than most of the issues.
I hear it every day. So that's right. It's a very good explanation.
Right. So anyway, that's you know, that's how we do the work, is reenacting, explaining each other's truth and upbringing, trying to understand, and then reenacting, and then how could we have changed that up, and what are you both going to do for your homework to change it up? And of course it takes work, and they're going to slip, and they're going to have these, you blah, whatever come out of there. Wait, oh, I'm sorry, apologize. Gosh, I'm sorry, I did cuckoo stuff again. Okay, I'm working on it. Okay, honey, I know you're working on it. So it's that journey together. And one person may be working on it more than the other. So then we get the other person, you know, we kind of call them out a little bit and say, did you sort of, no, I couldn't help myself. Okay, let's wind it back and be more mindful of your triggers. So we do a lot of that work. And then hug, touch. Isn't that fun, though? I know for you, when you come into a session with a couple, and see, I have a couch. I literally have a couch.
I have a couch as well.
I have a couch.
Yeah,
all right,
couch.
Girl. See, you got it going on in your office. So this is a big couch. So, and chairs. But you can tell when a couple comes in how bad their issue is. One will sit on one
here.
Side of the other. Or one will even sit in a chair. Oh, my gosh. It's like, oh, boy. I had twice in my very long years of practicing. This was just a little light humor, but not really, I guess, for the young women. These couples, the men on both of the sessions, two different men, did not have the chutzpah. break up with them or tell them? So they came into the session with therapy relationship, and then they said, okay, and we got into it, and the girl was like crying, and he said, the reason why I'm here is I'm breaking up with you right now. I can't do you anymore. I can't stand this. My heart can't blah, blah, blah. And they both, different men, different, got up and walked out.
Oh my God.
After 15 minutes.
That's what happened to me towards my divorce, towards like the last session that we went to couple
therapy. Oh my goodness, do tell.
Yeah.
I want to hear this.
I'm serious.
Do you want to talk about
it? No. He was such a passive aggressive, and he was like, it's my way or the highway.
Oh boy.
No woman will ever change me.
Oh, gosh.
So if I'm not good enough, I'm leaving. And he left, and I was like,
ooh.
Goodbye.
Sounds we have a little NPD, narcissistic personality disorder.
Exactly.
For those of you who are just learning this, yeah. So
and it's important to say some people don't really come for the change.
That's right.
They come for different reasons.
Yes.
And us, I think, as therapists.
Oh my gosh, girl! I'm so sorry.
I was not sorry. I wanted to leave him.
Good.
It was. I was asking to separate, and he was, you know, very aggressive about it.
Yeah.
And then he said, "Let's go for therapy." I said, "Fine, I will." And I almost said, "God, send me the signal. What do I need to do? Am I correct to leave him after 20 years, or can I do some work?" I wasn't a therapist back then.
Yeah.
Don't forget.
Yeah, sure.
And it was just like God sent me a message. We went to two sessions, and the second session, that's what happened. And I was like, thank you.
Thank you, universe. Thank you for doing that.
But you know why
that
was great? Because a lot of people want to be in control.
Sure they do.
I will say if we separate or not. It will be my decision
if
we get divorced. No problem.
Yeah, like,
so here you
are. Exactly. You watch out the door and you're like,
exactly. But I see it. I see a lot of people. By the way, not just couples, not just relationships.
Sure.
I see it with other people that are coming, asking to make a change. And by the way, when I do hypnosis or I do an NLP technique and
I
want to help them release something they came asking me to release, I ask a second before, are you ready to release the pain? Are you ready to release that negative association? Are you ready to whatever it is?
Right.
And I wait for an answer because some people are not really ready
to
release. So it's quite amazing. I mean, it's probably very embarrassing to sit as a therapist and someone does it.
Yeah.
How would the female, how did they react?
Shocked.
But they're not in denial anymore, at least.
No. And I said, I remember in both cases, saying, well, hey, we've got 45 minutes left in our session. Let's process this one. You know, or you could just sit here and cry, and if it's okay, I'll put my hand on your back and pat you and give you a hug because what? So what did you learn from this? You know, that kind of thing. So we would, and come on back next week. I'm here for you, girl. He's fine. He's off on his own. And I hope he has some guilt about what he did because he was a chicken. But if he didn't, that's okay. That's his life journey. But, you know, girl, if I'm here for you, you know, and chances are we keep working through that. And why did I pick this person? Ooh. I guess we all needed to learn lessons, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Actually, I would even want to tell her.
Need
to thank him.
Oh, yes.
Coping with loss, so many people are stuck in the denial stage.
Ooh,
and here you are. You got it like shoved in
right?
your face. It's very painful.
Oh, yeah.
But you can already move to the next step. He wants out.
Yes.
He could drug her for 10 more sessions or more.
Right.
You know, like, playing a game. Yeah, I tried and whatever. So I would like even try to reverse it and almost reframe
beautiful
the whole situation.
That's
and
right.
Take it instead of talking badly about it.
Right.
Thanking him
exactly
for doing that.
Yes.
Right?
Thank you for just doing it right away because we could have wasted my time. I mean, it's kind of a waste of my time.
And her time.
Yeah,
her
and big time her time, you exactly. know. And, you know, of course. And he's, you know, he or she. And I've had women who have, but I don't have any women who've, you know, broken up
Really?
In a session with a guy.
Yeah, that's quite.
Yet.
I mean, yeah. Maybe, who knows? Yeah. Hey, they break up on over text messages yeah. those days. So I've seen things. I was like.
Right, exactly.
But it's a lot of yeah. a lot of what we are talking, what we're yes. discussing now, is just taking a situation and showing a person you can choose to cry over it and think bad, make you miserable, or ask yourself, why am I doing it? Can I do it differently? What will make me feel better? Maybe I should actually be grateful. It looks
yes.
like a terrible thing right now.
Right.
But maybe, you know, God
right.
is helping me.
Yes.
Maybe I should not be in that
exactly.
relationship.
Exactly.
Or whatever it is.
Right, right.
And that's, it's a conscious thing,
it
but also
is.
You can go even deeper.
Oh, you sure
that.
Can. And, you know, as you said earlier, you mentioned the law of attraction, mm-hmm. so real. And that's what I talk about quantum consciousness. Whatever we're putting out energetically and thinking energetically, negative, hate, anger, stress, constant, you know, the dark energies or whatever they want to call, you know, whatever the language is. But if we're in a higher place of relaxation, hypnosis, meditation, cleansing ourselves, healing our inner child, that which we are is what we put out, and that is what we get back. The quantum universe, the photonic universe, as we've learned from CERN, and the photonic separator and all that, is that we are all connected. That which we put out is what we get back. That's why prayer is so strong of any religion that doesn't have hate in it. That's
exactly.
why prayer of gratitude all and embracing it. You can't just say it. A lot of people say to me, oh, shall I do my positive affirmations? I had a guy who I was working with who said, I've been doing positive affirmations now for 3 months and nothing good's happening. And I said, do you believe them? You have to include, as I said at the beginning, your heart and your mind. You have to embrace and feel, I am abundant. I am a good person. I am intelligent. If you don't believe it, gone, not going to happen.
Right.
So it's the energy of loving thoughts and prayer, meditating on that, hypnosis to help people, neuro-linguistic programming, as you do to help others, get to a higher frequency, as we say, to where that which you're putting out is you're getting back things. And you'll notice if you stay, you know, on the course and you work on it, of course we're all human and we have anger and we have issues with our spouses and we have issues with our kids and, you know, life and family. And but basically, if you can really have a mindfulness about what your thoughts and feelings, what you're putting out there. Why do you think things are happening to you? Why do you think weird people are coming into your life? Go within, get your higher self at work. Love that which you are.
That's amazing. And I'll add also, when during the day, I always tell my clients, the 20 minutes after you wake up,
oof.
The 20 minutes before you go to sleep, when
yes.
your head is already on the pillow, is the time that you are mostly suggestible to yourself.
Oh, boy.
That's
God,
when
is that true? Yes.
you want to do it. That's
beautiful.
The time.
Right?
So that's my little message to you, all the listeners, and I'll give you, we are almost...
We are. Oh,
last
my goodness.
2 minutes if you have any message, because we're trying to bring a lot of positive
right.
messages here. And
yes,
there are things happening in the world and in our life.
Mm-hmm.
We are aware of it. There are differences. We think different. We believe in different things. It is okay.
Yes.
As long as we understand that people are different and we
yes.
don't have to judge them. I always
yes.
say that.
Yes.
Love them for what you are. And I'm throwing it on you to give
them. Oh my
them
goodness! You said it all, girl. You said it all, girl. If you want to check out my website, it's talkshowtherapist.com, and it's being sort of rebuilt. So excuse some of the glitches. Also, the Consciousness Doc. I'm there on Instagram, and a lot of spiritual psychology in that as well. But basically, love that which you are. and then you'll be good for other people. And that's the way it is. And if you don't love yourself, you need some NLP from this girl.
Self-love.
There you go.
For everything. And we will both be here next week. Dr. Michelle will be here at 11
yes,
on LA Talk Radio. Right? And I will be here at 12 with a guest, which will actually touch. I'll send you the
ooh,
link to the
cool.
show. But we're touching also great. Something to do with trauma and subconscious and all that.
Mm.
So we'll continue with that. Thank you so
oh,
much.
My
it was
pleasure.
I enjoyed it.
Me too.
Before everything. I enjoyed every moment.
Thank you.
And I loved your open-minded how, you know, when Sam spoke
yes.
to you, you were like, yes, let's do it.
Yes.
Love it. Absolutely
me too.
Love it. I had
me
a pleasure.
Too.
I enjoyed it. We'll definitely stay in touch.
Absolutely.
And we just want to wish everybody a beautiful week until next Wednesday when we're here. Have a beautiful day, week, year. And love the people around you. Love yourself.
You're listening to Show Me the Numbers with Yael Kagan, only on LA Talk Radio.
No, we didn't.